Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Smash Pad's Gamers Without Borders. I am Patrick Mifflin alongside Kayla Owen and Teresa Sammons, and we're going to be continuing the theme of retro minis from last week. I did quite a bit of hardware hacking over the weekend, and Kayla and Teresa have had some good time with the TurboGrafx Mini now, and so we'll be talking quite a bit about that. So, I'll just start off to preface exactly what I did for my part over the weekend. And that was, for one thing, I got an NES Classic and a Super NES Classic in exchange for a custom PlayStation job from one of my friends. And I finally sat down, and I've talked about this on the show before, but I finally got around to hacking those and getting them loaded up with games. I'm really happy with the onboard storage space that was included on both systems. I had OTG cables and 16 gig flash drives ready to go. I didn't end up needing them, so I probably have a good 120 to 150 games on each of them, and everything loaded onto the onboard storage, so I'm really thrilled about that. And then in addition to that, I unhacked and rehacked my Sega Genesis Mini because I'm making the switch from Project Lunar to Hack-Chi. And the reason for this, it actually comes back to the TurboGrafx, because obviously we're waiting for Project Phobos to land for the TurboGrafx Mini so that we can get into that and, you know, start adding games. But really, Mod My Classic has been in a state where they just don't really want to talk about Project Lunar 1.1 or Project Phobos at all. And I understand, I empathize with their reasoning. I'm going to pull up the quote here on their Discord, but yeah, they said, "Please remember our team members have lives that involve more than spending our free time online coding projects for the public without pay. Some of us have been impacted in multiple ways by COVID-19. Jobs have been lost. Some have lost wages. Some team members no longer have free time due to taking work whenever, wherever they can. Some have had to take extra jobs to help cover for their partner's loss of wages. Some have family members that have been sick with COVID-19, or they themselves have been sick with COVID-19. Some have even lost family members. COVID-19 has affected all of us. It's canceled our plans, our birthdays, our holidays, and we've lost precious time with friends and family. When people are seen complaining because we haven't released any updates or new hacks for a game console right now is thoughtless and disrespectful. And we understand asking for an update does not equal complaining, but we need you to be patient. We're doing the best we can in a terrible situation. Our plan is still to update Project Lunar to 1.1 and then get to work finishing up Project Phobos. But in the meantime, please continue to be patient. We appreciate your understanding. Thank you." I sympathize with that 100%. Yeah. Like, nothing they said there was wrong. The thing that I just disagree with is they have to realize that they exist in a space where long periods of radio silence are effectively tantamount to vaporware. And I, like, if anyone's actually been pumping them saying, "When's it coming? Get it done now," then they're absolutely in the right to say, "Hey, fuck yourself." But by the same token, I think the level of communication as things have gone so far has not really been where it would be to keep people reassured that it's coming at all. And that's more where I kind of part ways with them. For example, that statement is the first thing that they've really posted in their TurboGrafx 16 news channel since May 5th.
Wow.
So with that kind of gap in communication, you kind of understand why people were wondering, "Hey, what's going on? When's it?" Even if there's not much to report on, it's good to still check in and, you know, go over what has been done. I don't know. It,
yeah.
At this point, it feels like Hack-Chi is, well, for the Genesis, it's more feature rich. And at this point, it really does feel like, you know, and this is just based on the level of communication that we've seen from Mod My Classic. But it really feels like Hack-Chi is probably going to be ready for the TurboGrafx mod before they are.
Yeah. For whatever reasons, maybe they have more human resources that are able to do this because, you know, they just happen to maybe be in a better spot.
And like I said, I empathize with that completely. I feel like Hack-Chi is, you know, it's already got folders on the Genesis at this point, which is coming in mm-hmm. Project Lunar 1.1, whenever that happens to be. And as far as Project Phobos goes, there's really no indication of who's going to be ready for it first, but just it's the communication thing. And so I will still swear by Project Eris on the PlayStation Classic. It's everything I need it to be. It would, I guess, be nice if we could teach it how to show Neo Geo Pocket games on the carousel, but that's a really kind of nitpicky issue for me to be having. I can still access them through RetroArch, so I'm not really that worried about it. But yeah, it was a very productive Saturday for me. Got the two Nintendo systems hacked and then the Genesis. So I'm happy to have that in the rear view and just look forward to building on them as, you know, as I continue. So yeah, moving on to the main topic, all three of us have had a lot of time with the TurboGrafx Mini now. What do y'all think about it?
Well, I think it's definitely the best out of all of the retro consoles when it comes to just taking it out of the box and wanting to play it. The game library, to me, is pretty much perfect. I'm sure if I really thought about it, I could think of a couple of other games I'd like on there.
Final Soldier.
Just and kidding. Also, and the controllers are perfect, yes. too. I mean, you know, the NES Mini and Super NES Mini both have ridiculously short controller cables, and this one is just perfect. Mm-hmm. But I think that the thing I really like the most about it is having the PC Engine games like Snatcher, which was something I've always wanted to play and definitely will be playing for when I have the time to actually sit down and run it through Google Translate.
Yep. And, you know, with the phone app now, it's pretty much you just hold the phone up to your screen and basically play through the phone with it being a visual novel. So,
yeah,
that Phil talked about that app a couple of episodes ago, and it really is ready to go.
That helps a lot. The one thing that I really get a kick out of is the loading graphic. You know, it looks like you're putting in the little game cards. I just think that is the cutest little extra touch. They put some effort here.
Yeah, I also have to give a shout out to the background music on the PC Engine menu. Like, they really got into Sega's energy with that.
Yeah. This one is, it's like Kayla said, I mean, you pull it out of the box, it's plug and play, and
it gives you a really good, solid slice of what made the TurboGrafx what it was in all regions.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, I'm going to pull it out, and the first thing I'm going to go for is Bonk's Adventure.
Which, strangely enough, is only there in import form.
Yeah.
That was a weird choice.
Yeah, and I was wondering when I was playing it, I'm like, why isn't this like, because we had a TurboGrafx around 99, 2000, right around there. Clearly, we didn't have one when we were growing up.
Yeah, I think your thread about it on what was then videogames.com was our first interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was nice to revisit it, but it's a little different, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a niche system, but the value proposition at the time was outstanding. Yeah. And very much in the same spirit, the value proposition now as a mini is just as amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible to have you know, this really comprehensive, for the most part, library for $100.
Yep.
I mean, this is crazy.
Have you priced any of these out on eBay yet?
Oh, I haven't. Kayla, have you? Do you know what any of the games are still going for, or even the system?
Well, yeah, actually, I was looking up Star Porodger on eBay, and it's about the price of the actual mini console. It's about $80 to $100.
Wow.
Did you look up Ginga Fuke Densetsu Sapphire?
No, that was the only thing that I actually looked up besides the price of the console. And the console's pretty expensive too, still.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to look that up right now just because I want to see if it's moved at all.
Yeah, I know when we lost our second bedroom, which was our gaming room, because my brother moved in for a while, I remember selling my old TurboGrafx our old TurboGrafx for a pretty penny back then, but the details completely escaped me.
Oh my God.
What did you find?
Oh my God.
What's it going for?
Just a moment.
Oh, no.
Copy link location. Studio chat. So, yeah, Konami did us all a solid.
Holy crap! You can buy a used car for that.
That's a little more than what I paid for my car.
Wow. $1,500, people. $1,500.
Yeah, there are some that dip down into the three figures, but
gosh,
obviously those are not as complete.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the CD, things like that. But yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So and here I thought that the TurboGrafx Mini might actually interfere with the market on some of the games included in it, but apparently not.
Oh my gosh. So there's obviously still a lot of games that I haven't gotten around to playing. I was wondering, have you guys played Ease 1 and 2 on there? And
oh yes. That's Falcom. That's Lifeblood.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering if that was probably your first stop. Whereas I'm always gonna head to the big platformer. You know,
yeah.
Pick up the NES Classic, and I'm going straight for Mario. I mean, yeah. at first, but yeah.
Yeah, that does take me to another game that I think would have been an interesting fit on there. With the way the industry has kind of moved, and with the way the franchise in particular has moved.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen Dragon Slayer, The Legend of Heroes on there.
Ooh. Well,
because that game, it evolved a long way to become Trails. Mm-hmm. I'll just put it that way. But it's still a lot of fun. So that's nice. One that I would have included.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You know, this, for most people, I think that being able to get the TurboGrafx Mini it's going to be their first exposure, really, to having this, because, I mean, it really didn't thrive in the North American market at all.
NEC's marketing department kind of shit the bed.
Yeah.
Could they have marketed it any worse?
Well, probably not. Probably not.
Literally everything they did seemed to be a faux pas.
Yeah.
Of some kind or another.
Yeah. I mean, for people who like 2D shooters, I mean, this is like,
oh yes.
Like, just spend $100. It's good to go.
You got the Star Soldier series. You got the Gradius series, mm-hmm. R-Type, Blazing Lasers. There's so many great shmups on there that, including a lot of them that you're not going to find anywhere else. Like, there were exclusives that were absolutely brilliant. There was Nexer, which I really wish I was better at.
Yeah.
but it's definitely cut from the same cloth of the Star Soldier series.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one thing that I can't remember from when I did have the other, the game saves on the mini, it's, they probably didn't have it on the original, but honestly, I just cannot remember to save my life. But I mean, that's kind of nice, because if you're playing something and, you know, something comes up and you gotta dash off to do something else, well, you know, you got your save right there. And
save states.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that it didn't happen that way before.
No, it did not.
Yeah.
In fact, you'll notice a couple of the games on there use the old password system.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, so we have all these mini reboots. I know this isn't really on our topic of discussion, but like, what do you guys think is coming next? Is there anything else?
Well, we did kind of discuss this last week with the topic of the PlayStation Classic and the potential of a PlayStation 2 Classic.
Oh yeah, we did, didn't we?
And the technology just isn't really there yet.
Mm-hmm.
To smash something down to that size that will run PlayStation 2 or just, we'll say, 7th generation games in general.
Mm-hmm.
Or 6th generation games, I should say. In general, it would probably be cheaper just to reproduce the old hardware.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
It's that type of horsepower just isn't there in that form factor yet.
Yeah.
At least not at a good price. To get there, you'd probably be looking up at the level of top of the line cell phones. So
yeah. Yeah, I think that's
you don't want to go there.
Right. That's not what this is. This a movement? That's not what this movement is about.
I would say it's we're trying to turn it into one.
I think so.
But yeah, I think you got to get down to the $100 price point, maybe $120 for the PS2.
Yeah.
Would be palatable. But yeah, even going anywhere above three figures is really pushing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I mean, it would definitely would definitely fly off the shelf.
Oh yeah.
You know, even at $125.
Yeah, so, how do you curate the games?
Right? That's a really hard job. And for a PS2...
And keep in mind, these are DVDs at this point, so we're talking probably 5-gig games.
Oh, good Lord. That's right. That's right. Yeah, one thing I was a little... I have no idea how much onboard memory is on this thing, on the TurboGrafx Mini. But I was a little
not
disappointed
much
that they didn't put Keith Courage on there.
Yeah, that was a really big omission, because that was the pack-in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had two copies of that.
It's like if Nintendo did the NES Classic without putting Super Mario Brothers on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Bonk was really, really well known then, I guess, for it. But no Alpha Zones? Come on.
Nope.
And I do remember playing that back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
But, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to wait for Hack-Chi.
Yeah. That would be an interesting topic for us to take on one of these weeks, though. Just curating game lists for retro minis that haven't been made yet.
Yeah. We could be doing
some of these. I'll have to file that one away on the ideal list.
Yeah. We could make our little wish list.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Are either of you getting the multi-tap?
I don't plan on it. Are you thinking about doing that, Kayla?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I picked one up just because Bomberman is on there. And Bomberman nights were totally a thing when I was growing up, and once we're on the other side of the pan, they're going to be a thing again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then there's a little game on there called Dungeon Explorer that supports 5 players as well.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So that's a kind of a Gauntlet clone.
Yeah, we just, we're okay with not for now. I don't know. I mean, it might change. Not. It's not like we won't be able to pick it up. I mean, Hori makes a really nice one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everything they make is nice, pretty much.
Yeah.
Got to give them a little love.
My first fight pad was actually the original Hori Fighting Commander for the Super NES. I don't know how it made its way to North America, but it found its way to Fun Unlimited, and I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my introduction to Hori.
Dang.
I've been a fan ever since. This must have been like 1994, 1995.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. No longer works, but I still have it somewhere. Just because it's just that awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever the hack does come down, what games are you two going to be adding to your systems?
Well, definitely Keith Courage for me.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Kayla?
It's really hard for me to think about that because the console really has such a great library. But I think if there was one thing that I'd never got to play on the TurboGrafx, it would probably be Darkwing Duck.
Oh.
They made a TurboGrafx version of that.
Oh, nice. Well, Devil's Crush. I'm going to put that on there, too.
Pinball, yep.
Yeah. I mean, I like Alien. I really do. So, and that was the very last game that I sold when I let my TurboGrafx go. I know.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know. But yeah, I think probably those two and there was another Bonk that came out later.
There was Bonk's Adventure, Bonk's Revenge, and Bonk's Big Adventure.
Big Adventure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, I mean, well, why not put the second one on too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're all three on there.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
Have I just been playing Bonk 1 constantly?
Bonk's Adventure is on there under its Japanese name, PC Genjin.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the TurboGrafx half, you have Bonk's Revenge and Bonk's Big Adventure.
Oh, okay.
I got it. And thankfully, that for Bonk's Big Adventure, they went with the card version instead of the CD version, because the card version is actually the superior port.
Mm.
The CD is missing a lot of animations and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit of trivia there.
Interesting.
They made an inferior CD-based version of Bonk's Big Adventure.
But. Yeah, that's about it for what I would add, although I'm sure if everybody gets to talking and whatnot, I'm sure that other things will
expand.
Yeah.
But for me, obviously Final Soldier is going to be the immediate pick. It's the one installment of the Star Soldier series that was not included on it, and it's the best version of the Star Soldier series. So that one's going on there post-haste. Dragon Slayer, The Legend of Heroes, I already talked about. Nexer, I'm going to put on there. Already talked about. Super Raiden.
Mm?
It's the best version of Raiden with a CD-quality soundtrack. And if you know the Raiden soundtrack, that's amazing. So that one's definitely going on there. After that, I'm not sure that there's a really good port of Outrun.
Okay.
On the TurboGrafx. I don't think I'm ambitious enough to put Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition on there and configure a 6-button controller. But that is a really good port too.
Yeah.
Obviously Keith Courage has to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good platformer that almost tapped into Wonder Boy energy.
Dang, it's been forever since I've heard about Wonder Boy.
Oh, I love that series. That was one of my first tastes of the Sega Master System as well. I must have been like 6 years old because it was when I was still living in Fielding.
Oh, wow.
So, that series has deep roots with me. And then it was the same friend also had the Master System version of Double Dragon that you could play two players at the same time. And I was kind of like Lee in that regard. That was when I realized I needed to have a Master System. But I don't know. We got a show with that?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. I think we've got a show. So you can subscribe to us on Anchor.fm, Pocket Cast, Spotify, and many other places on an ever-growing list. You can also support us on Patreon with such perks as suggesting show topics once a month, as well as getting hold of episodes before they've gone through the editorial process. So if you can put up with my insufferable stuttering and don't mind the gaps, you can get episodes as quickly as they get recorded on Patreon. You can also email us at thegamerswithoutborders@gmail.com. Once again, that is thegamerswithoutborders@gmail.com. So for Teresa Sammons and Kayla Owen, I have been Patrick Mifflin. We will see you next time.